Well, this morning we are continuing our series on faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So we started our theme of faith looking at Noah. And we have there a photo of a life-size replica model of what they think the ark may have looked like. You can just about possibly see some people just down there, and a couple of people just there, just about make them out. It was a huge undertaking. God spoke to Noah in the midst of the depravity and set him on a major building project to build something of that sort of proportions. It would have taken him years, and he would have faced opposition. Yet, Noah looked beyond the opposition. He looked beyond the impending doom. He looked beyond the here and now to something else that God had spoken about. Noah had confidence in God. And last week we talked about the fact that faith is not belief without evidence. Very often people give this idea that, oh, faith is just some wafty thing based on, absolutely, I've got no evidence for this, but I'm going to believe it anyway. That's not biblical faith. We looked at Moses, and he experienced God at the burning bush. He experienced something of the power of God, the miraculous. First of all, the thing that drew his attention was the fact that although this bush was on fire, it wasn't burning up. Something weird going on here. We saw a miracle where God said to him, take your staff, throw it on the ground, and it became a snake. He was scared of the snake, he ran from it. God said to him, pick it up by the tail. So he picked it up, it became his staff again. He put his hand into his jacket. Jacket wasn't the word used, but I'm wearing a jacket, so that's where my brain's gone. He took it out, and it came out. The skin was all white and leprous. Put it in again, took it out again, it was clean. He experienced something of God's power. He knew testimonies, other people's experiences of God's power. He experienced something of God's power himself. And so he took the next step. He took the next step. Every step he took towards going to Pharaoh and the miraculous plagues they saw was building his faith, building his faith. Faith follows. And faith grows as we follow. We can trust God on the evidence of other people's testimony and on our own experience. So today, we're looking at the fact, as you probably guessed from the Ephesians reading, faith is a shield. Faith is a shield. We're probably all familiar with the depictions of the Roman soldier. And we've read through elements there. Paul was imprisoned by the Roman authorities at this point. And so probably a familiar sight for him, something along that sort of nature. There would have been soldiers walking the streets around much of the Roman Empire. People would have been familiar with this imagery. And he says faith, he's going through, looking at a lot of the elements of the soldier's garb, and he says faith is your shield. Now, faith, the Greek word used there, pistis, is a noun which is variously translated faith, belief, trust, confidence, fidelity, or faithfulness. In fact, we see that underlined. We looked at Hebrews 11 verse 1 the last couple of weeks, didn't we? Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Faith is confidence. Faith is a sense of assurance about something. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It's not wafty. It's not based on nothing. It's based on something. Where does our faith come from? What causes us to have faith? As we read scripture, and at some point I will have a bit of a look at why we can trust that this is the word of God. We say it's the word of God and we believe it's the word of God, but do we know why? Why can we trust that this is correct, this is accurate? But taking that as a given for this morning, God's word speaks to us. And it encourages us and it tells us about what lies ahead. It tells us about God's plan. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. How do we get faith? It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. How do we get faith? We need to hear something. We hear the message. We hear the truth. We hear testimony about what God has done. And it inspires us. It encourages us. It builds faith. It's part of the reason that it is so important that we get to know the scriptures. When we were talking about spiritual disciplines, one of the ones we had was becoming a community of courageous fidelity to orthodoxy through the practice of scripture. That word fidelity comes up again. But we need to get to know scripture. It builds truth in our minds, it inspires faith in our hearts. It's important that we get to know the scriptures. Let's just have a quick look, shall we, at the Roman shield. The scutum, as it was, I think, was the Latin. the Latin for it. They had various different types of shields, but this one in particular, it was made of laminated wood, like plywood, essentially. So it was strong. It had metal strips all around the edge to stop it breaking apart. And as such, it was about, have I got on there? I haven't said. It was about 4 foot tall, 2.5 foot wide. That's a hefty piece of timber to be lugging around. You had to be pretty strong to carry that around. And it was curved. Most of the shields you see depicted in your history lessons were probably flat. A lot of them were circular or sort of, I was going to say shield-shaped. yeah, didn't think that one through, did I? These were curved. One of the things about it being curved is that if something hits the curve, it gets much more of a glancing blow. So you're standing there holding your shield. Something hits it off center. You don't get the full impact of it. You don't get the full force of it. Curved shields deflect the blows. And that's important. Because John 8:32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When we know the truth, it sets us free from so many things. When boulders get hurled at us, lies get hurled at us, we can deflect them because I know the truth. I know what God says about me. I am who God says I am, not what the lies of the world say to me I am. Romans 12 verse 2, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed by the as your mind is transformed by the word of God, it changes the way you think. If you think, "I'm hopeless, I'm nobody, why should anybody care about me?" When you walk into a room, no one's going to notice, it's just like everyone's going to ignore you. But if you have confidence that I'm significant as I walk into this room, it changes how you behave, it changes how you act, it changes how people treat you. We need to be transformed. We need to think right, think the way that God speaks about us. And when we do, the lies just deflect off of our shield of faith. Now, one thing about shields is that a lot of shields were made of wood. These were no exception. And what is one way to make your enemy's defense your attack? If it's wood, set fire to it. Great defenses, you can set fire to them. Their defense becomes your weapon because a burning shield is going to cause a soldier some problems. Apparently, the Parthians were renowned for having tar-tipped arrows, which they set light to and shoot them. Flaming arrows that will set fire to and destroy the shields of their enemies. The Roman soldier's shield was different in that it was generally coated with leather, and if they thought it was likely that their enemies were going to be using fire, they would douse it in water so that when the flaming arrows came, they would be extinguished. The enemy attacks us, our enemy attacks us in a very similar manner. Fiery darts that can do us a lot of damage, that can set fire to our faith. What do those darts look like? Discouragement. When we get discouraged, we start to doubt. Delay. Think, when things that we are expecting or wanting, and there's a delay, and it can, like, God did, I'm sure God said whatever it was, but nothing's happening. What's going on? Distraction. We get taken away, our minds taken off what we ought to be thinking about, and distracted by so many other things. Jesus told the parable, didn't he, of the sower who went out to sow seeds, and some of the seed landed on soil that grew up quickly, but it was choked by the weeds, by the distractions, by the cares of this world. Disappointment can affect our faith. Deception can affect our faith. The aim of all of these things is to take us out the battle. If a soldier is on fire, he's not going to be much use attacking his enemy. When we are distracted, when we have the fiery darts come at us from the enemy, they can distract us and destroy our faith. Destroy our ability to fight effectively in the Lord's battle. They destroy our confidence in who God is, what God has said, and who we are. So the leather shield covered, the leather on the shield soaked in water, extinguishes those darts. Our faith, we need to be building our faith. I am a child of God. I'm loved by God. We say that and we believe it. I am who God says I am. The enemy fires a dart. Surely God doesn't love you. I'm a child of God. I am loved by God. I am accepted by Him. I am chosen by Him. Surely God didn't mean that when He said that. We declare the truth. We declare the truth. If our ears, if our minds have been filled with the word of God, the dart is quickly extinguished. It comes to nothing. But if we linger on those thoughts, if we allow them to stick around, they can destroy our faith. Just nipping back to that picture. In the middle of the shield there, you've got the metal boss as well. These shields are heavy, and whilst primarily used for defense, your faith can hit a blow in attack to the enemy. And the soldiers, they could do some damage to anybody that got too close. Give them a strike with the metal in the middle of that shield, and declarations of faith can become an offensive movement. And that's all well and good, everything we've said thus far, but I think this is possibly one of the most iconic formations that we see with a Roman shield, the tortoise formation. The shield wasn't just meant to be used alone by one isolated soldier. The shield was designed to be used in community. It provides protection in front. It provides protections at the side. It provides protection overhead. When we stand together as a community of faith, There might be someone in the middle who's struggling. But we stand with them in faith. I am not always strong. I have bad days now and again. But when we are surrounded by people who have the same faith as us, surrounded by fellow soldiers, they protect us. They carry us. One of the definitions we had right at the beginning of faith was faithfulness. Sorry, of pistis, was it faithfulness? It's that sense of keeping on, keeping on. And when we keep on keeping on with each other, it's good for us. It's good for the community as a whole. Because those who are struggling, we're alongside them. We're keeping on faithful together. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Publisher in here has put the heading, A Call to Persevere in Faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's not give up meeting together. Let's not give up standing arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, supporting each other, encouraging each other, building each other up. As community, we live together, we grow together, we move forward together. Something about that formation is that the people at the front take the brunt of what's going on. So what happens when they get tired? Does the whole thing fail and collapse? Nope. They peel off, go to the back, and the people push on behind them. And they can take it easy to some degree. They rest while others carry on. Maybe there's a more defensive stance that we need to take sometimes. And these big heavy shields can be stuck in the ground and you lean against it, behind it. And the person behind you leans up against you and they cover your head and they lean into you so you can take more of the pressure. We need the faith to keep going, and sometimes that faith comes from those around us. Faith doesn't just happen. We need to build our faith. So I guess the question is, am I building my faith? Am I exercising my faith? Am I growing in faith? How do I do that? Meditating on scripture is a good thing to do. Some of you may still have the 31 declarations sheet from sometime last year, I think it was. This is my declaration. Number one, I am a child of God, forgiven and loved by God. I will serve the Lord with gladness all the days of my life. We declare these things. I hear and follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. I will do what is right in the right way at the right time. Declare these things so that when the devil's whispers lies, when the devil tries to throw a rock at us and say, you're a failure, you're nothing, you're not, who do you think you are? I am a child of God. The goodness and mercy of God are following me every day of my life. I will live in the house of the Lord forever. We need to get to know these things because they build our faith, they encourage us. Who am I? Am I linking arms with people so that when trouble comes, I know I have a community around me who will support me, who will carry me? I've shared this before, but years ago when I was recovering from major surgery, I remember being driven to the front door of the building that we were meeting in at that time. A friend on either side helped me walk from the car to a seat. And I remember just sitting in that seat, listening to the people around me singing and thinking, God, I don't have the energy or the power to sing. But take their words and treat them as mine. And sometimes when we are feeling weak, through whatever circumstances, life throws all sorts of things at us at various times. Sometimes we are weak and we just need to know the strength of the people around us. And it's as much as we can do to say, Lord, what they said, take that. It's important that we have community around us. Let's pray.